Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank of katelovingshank.com and author of the Prayer Prescription Series. My guest today is Kathleen Gage, author of the just-published book, Power Up for Profits. If you've been online for any length of time, you've heard there are people making great money by utilizing the power of the Internet. The fact is, the world of online marketing has traditionally been dominated by men. Yet with over 8 million U.S. businesses currently women-owned and equating to an economic impact of $3 trillion, this translates into the creation and or maintenance of 23 million jobs. Anticipating the need to arm women with the right information to grow their businesses, global online marketing strategist Kathleen Gage has written the first ever book addressing this topic, especially for women. Kathleen provides proven solutions for how to quickly, efficiently, and cost-effectively establish a strong presence using a plethora of online means. Today, Kathleen will show us exactly how women can quickly jumpstart their presence online. Regardless of the industry, Kathleen will show you how you can optimize your efforts and power up for profits. Please join me in welcoming Kathleen Gage. Hello, Kathleen.
Well, Kate, I was going to say welcome, welcome, welcome. It's, I welcome you. I welcome me. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I think what motivated you to write this book was the fact that women need to know what you have to teach. Would that be an accurate statement?
That would be an accurate statement because I've actually been online for about 15 years actively using the Internet. I actually did my first campaign about 13, 14 years ago where I actually made money. And what I do know is from the very beginning, it was an industry that was dominated by men, and very few women early on were getting involved in the Internet. And now we see it more and more. I mean, you can go to Facebook and you can see how many women are involved, LinkedIn, Twitter. But the reality is that a lot of women don't know how to use the Internet effectively to build a business. And I'm not just talking about an online business. I'm talking about utilizing what's available with the Internet to build a brick-and-mortar business, a service-based business. It could be that you're a speaker and you want to build your speaking platform. So the Internet really has the tools available. And I just thought, you know, it's time that somebody wrote a book just for women. And so since nobody had, I thought, well, why not me? A lot of times people say, you know, somebody should do that. And what I know to be true is if we have that thought, we're probably the somebody.
Oh, you're so right. It's a beautiful example of taking up an idea and running with it.
And I've been known to do that once or twice.
I wanted to ask you, do you feel that women, the ways that online businesses are for women, would it be, are there different ways for men, different ways for women to put out the word about their passions and the things that motivate them?
I think so. And I think just in business in general, men have one way of relating and women have another way of relating. And it doesn't mean that either way is wrong. It just means it's different. And I'll give you a great example. When I used to speak on the platform a lot and I was traveling around doing corporate training, I trained a lot of women leadership groups, management groups, and it was always very interesting. When you think of men and you think of men going into a restroom, never will they talk to another man in the restroom. I mean, it's not, they don't even look at each other. It's not going to happen. Well, women go into a restroom, and before you know it, we're sharing recipes, we're talking about our kids, we're talking about our pets. And so the way we communicate is very different in that environment and online. A lot of traditionally, a lot of the online marketing was very hard sell, very you got to take action right now. If you don't do this, your life is going to fall apart, where women really don't like that kind of marketing in general. Sometimes it can work,
yes,
but in general, it's more relationship building. It's more about let people get to know who we are. We want to know who they are. And a great example is with the clients that I work with very intimately. We actually really care for each other. And I've been known to tell my clients I love them, and they've told me they love me. And in traditional business, you didn't hear that at all. Well, now, because of the beauty of social media and what we can do with that, we get to be completely who we are, and there's a market of people who will appreciate that.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that women need to realize that whole difference, though, between the marketing of between men and women, and that by focusing in on what you just said about the way we relate to one another and the way that we actually can create more of those relationships with each other. Because traditionally, too, I come from a nursing background, and nurses don't really treat each other very well. And women in general, historically, don't treat each other well. So this whole new internet pioneering effort that you've put forth in your book is creating a whole new paradigm of how women can and will be and do relate to each other.
Well, thank you for noticing that, because the whole premise behind the book is, first of all, to identify what is your passion and what is your life's work, because I believe that we have our life's work laid out for us, and many times we choose to ignore that. And yet some people, even when they identify it, they don't think they should be making money from their life's work, which that confuses me, because it's like, if you can do more of what you're here to do and you can make good money doing it, you can do more of the work that you've come here to do. For example,
yeah,
I'm very into animal rescue, and I talk about that in my book. I absolutely love being able to donate to organizations that rescue animals. Most of the pets that we have, we've got 3 horses, 2 dogs, and 2 cats. Most of them are rescues, including 2 of the horses. And so for me, when my business does well, that means I can give to more of those types of organizations. I can take on more animals, more responsibility. And so really, you know, the business today, Kate, is really about defining it the way that we want to define it. And there's an excellent book. Since we're talking about books, I want to recommend that people read Seth Godin's book, Tribes, because he really lays it out nicely on how you find that community of people that you have an affinity with.
Right. Right. That makes sense. Now, let's just say that a woman has a vision of making a real difference in the world, like, let's say, saving the bees, or uprooting the fear of death, or making our prison system more humane. How might your book help her achieve these goals, plus help her make money in the process?
You know, that is such a great question. Thank you. I actually was getting ready to shoot a video a little while ago, and I was mapping out what I was going to put in the video, and at the center is visibility, because at the core of everything you do, whatever your message is, you have to get visibility. So my book really goes into how do you get as much visibility as possible in front of the people that are going to pay attention to your message. The first thing that one would do, let's say it's save the bees. The first thing that you would need to do is really identify who cares about that. Who is the group of people who are the individuals who really care about that? Once you identify that, you have to know where they hang out. What blogs do they read? What trade journals do they read? What forums do they belong to? What social networks? A lot of people think that everybody needs to belong to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and that may not be true. For example, I used to work with quite a few dentists. I was working in the dental industry teaching them how to market their business. And there's a dental forum that has hundreds of thousands of members that if a dentist was trying to reach other dentists, that the dentist, he or she, would want to be a part of that particular forum. If, on the other hand, the dentist is trying to reach a client base, then maybe Facebook on a local level would be really effective. But the thing that any business owner needs to do is get that visibility. And they also need to know the big why of why them. What makes them the authority that people will listen to them? And if they haven't answered that question yet, they need to put some pieces in place that really conveys their expertise. And, you know, this is one thing I talk about in the book, and I'm a real stickler on this, are the people that are trying to sell products and services when they have no business doing so. And a great example would be somebody who's going to teach success and how to make money, and that person can't even pay their own bills. They're in dire straits financially. There's a real disconnect there. And sometimes
right.
people start teaching something just because they think it's going to make money. That's not the right reason to be teaching something. Another great example would be a 20-year-old being a life coach and saying, okay, I have all the answers to life, and I'm going to be your life coach. It's like, okay, I'm going to be 60, and you're 20 years old, and you're going to teach me about life. There's a disconnect there, too. So you
right.
really want to make sure that whatever you're saying you're an expert at, that you truly are an expert.
Well, certainly, if you're going to be talking about making money online and you haven't made even any money online, that would be a terrible disconnect. But, you know, we're talking
about... And yet people are doing it all the... You know, Kate, people do it
all the
time.
I know, you're right.
And it's
Absolutely.
Just like, okay, here's another great example. This one, I don't have it in the book, but I do have some good examples in the book. But there was a woman that wanted to train my dog, because I have a dog that is neurotic and real hyper, has anxiety. I mean, that's just the personality of the dog. Somebody knocks at the door, and the dog goes crazy, starts barking. I've taken him to dog training and done all this stuff. And she said, you know, I really should train your dog. And so I said, well, tell me about, you know, what you've done in training, and tell me about your own dogs. And she goes, well, my dogs are different. I actually keep plastic on the furniture because my dogs mess on the furniture. And I thought, you want to teach me about dog training and you can't even get your dogs not to mess on the couch? It was so off base for her to even think that I would want her to train my dogs if she couldn't train her own dogs.
And I wonder what that was all about. I think she wanted to create a relationship with you, and that is the only way that she could take it to it.
I don't know, but she actually makes a great living as a dog trainer, and I'm like, wow, that's
oh,
really
wow,
interesting.
That's fascinating. Well, you know, the great book, which you would be very interested in, is called Your Dog is Your Mirror. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I must be neurotic, anxiety-driven, and I bark at the slightest sound. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. That's
well,
funny.
I have a rescue dog that does the same thing. But the fact is that it's an amazing book. And when we work on ourselves and our dogs really appreciate it, let's just put it that way.
right.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the why. And it would seem like, you know, your book addresses the nuts and bolts of online business building, and not just online. It's just the whole idea of business is really nuts and bolts. But unless a woman keeps her why, and I would say the purpose almost taped to her forehead or maybe on her computer, she might actually lose her focus. And by losing the focus of the why, I think we just basically. And with all the things that women have to do with children, with elderly parents, with all of the responsibilities that they have, what do you recommend to keep that why in the uppermost area of the brain so that we can just keep that focus all the time?
Well, you know, I liked what you said about taping it to your computer to really keep in mind what is motivating you and what is driving you, because one of the things that motivated me to write this book was my own experience of really identifying a huge why that I didn't even know was a why a few years ago. I went through what a lot of boomers go through, where my father was diagnosed with brain and lung cancer. 4 weeks later, he passed away, and my mom and dad had been married nearly 61 years by that point. After my dad passed, of course, my mom was lost. I mean, they were joined at the hips. They were best friends. They were life partners. They were the whole nine yards. And when my dad had passed on, my mom was just incredibly sick, physically and emotionally. And she ended up in the hospital having four major surgeries in about a four-month period. And so I took it upon myself to be one of her primary caretakers. One of my sisters and myself, we both took on that responsibility. And that was my why at the time. My why
yeah.
for keeping my business running and having built it the way I did, where it was sustainable. After I got through through the whole process, and my mom passed away about a year and a half ago. But once I got through that and I really looked at that time period, I thought, you know, my why now is to teach as many women as possible how to build sustainable businesses so that if they needed to take time off by choice or by need, they could do it. And so that's really what drives me. So it's not real far removed from me remembering that, because I talk a lot about it through my writing when I'm doing interviews. And so I think if people share and they verbalize what their why is to the people who really want to know, that helps them to stay on track. In the book, I have two examples. Actually, I have several examples, but the two that really stick out, and it's near the beginning of the book. There's a woman by the name of Tia Torres who she has a program called Pit Bulls and Parolees. She has a nonprofit organization called Valabos, and that is a rescue organization for pit bulls. And she single-handedly has been the most instrumental person in raising the awareness of the fact that pit bulls are not bad dogs, that they have bad owners if they turn out that way. And so I share her story, how she got involved in doing her life's work. And she's had a lot of obstacles, but she stuck with it because her big why is saving those dogs. Then there's another story in there about Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is the tight end for the 49er football team. A great, great guy who also is an artist. And he actually started an art gallery that all the artwork that's put in his gallery, when it sells, the money goes to helping at-risk teens. And so his life's work is being a superstar football player and also being an artist. And the fact that he's so visible as a football player gives him the vehicle and the channel to do the artwork and raise funds for at-risk kids. So it's really looking at what drives you. What is it that, even if you didn't get paid for it, you would do it anyway? That's really where your life work starts coming in.
And don't you feel like that in order to really get to that why, and sometimes that getting to the why is almost surprising what comes up. In other words, you have to get into a meditation state where you actually contemplate, you reflect on this, what is my why? And in, hey, what is my purpose? What is my vision? What is my movement? What is it that I wish, how do I wish to make a difference in the world? And these questions are not something that are something you flip out of nowhere and just come up with it. And it takes time and deep reflection, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it can change from time to time, too. Years ago, if somebody would have said that what's driving you is to help boomers really establish themselves so that they can make different choices in life when life shows up for them, I never would have thought of that. It wasn't on my radar at the time. So really, I think oftentimes the life's work shows up based on the experiences that we have, and are we willing to answer that calling?
And the life-changing experiences, like the death of your parents, the death of all of our parents often, you know, happens to us boomers, and that is that very intense experience with being with people as they are dying is one of the most transformational experiences that anybody can have, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was actually there for both my parents when they took their final journey and their final breath. And it was it's something I am forever grateful for, that I had that freedom to do that.
That's right. And I was with my mother when she died, and you can't really talk about this sort of thing very openly with people, because when you say, wow, that was a gift beyond gifts, because for 3 or 4 days afterwards, I was in this most amazing mindset of unconditional love. I mean, I had no criticism, no judgment, and just total love for everything and everybody that I saw. It was like an opening up. But I wanted to ask you about baby boomers. Do you find that that demographic is responding to your message? And do you find that they are a little bit techno-limited in some of the stuff that you teach?
You know, as far as are they responding, yes, most definitely. And it's interesting because as I look at the age group, it's anywhere from 45 on up to 75 is primarily mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. The age group. But as far as being techno-challenged, some are and some are not. Now, one mm-hmm. of the things I've learned is I don't have to learn all the technology because I'm not a techno-whiz by any stretch, but I do mm-hmm. have people that I can outsource to that can take care of, let's say, setting up my blog for me, getting my shopping cart set up, doing the back-end stuff that really needs to be done in running a business. And this is something that in the book I really go into detail on is mm-hmm. running a business using the internet is like running a business offline. There's certain things you have to put in place. And it's amazing how many people, for some reason, they think it's different than running a traditional business. But, you know, you mm-hmm. have to set up a doing business as, and I don't go into how to set up your business, but I really want people to understand that there are certain things that you need to do, like pay taxes. I have been shocked at the number of people that start making money online, and then they find out that they actually have to pay taxes. It's like, I do? It's like, of course you do. You just make yes. money, you have to pay taxes. You know, so right. it's having a realistic view of what business is about, and then the book information, it really gets into how do you set up your foundation for marketing in the right way? How do you come up with a marketing strategy? And how do you know who your ideal client is? I really work with people on that. And then once you find out who your ideal clients are, what is the information that they want? What are the products and services that they want from you? And then how to go about getting the visibility so that they know that you even exist. Because it used to be, when I first came online, there was very little competition back then for pretty much anything that I was doing. Now there's so much competition that you really have to stand apart from the crowd.
Right. That makes perfect sense. And but you said that, let me just think about this a second, that, you know, you want to figure out what your market wants, and we target them with surveys and such, but what about the overriding why of why you are in business? So, okay, for you, you have determined that you wanted to help women at a certain stage in their life be able to have a business so that they're not having to depend on an employer. They can have this freedom to, have a business where they can be with their loved ones as they are dying, for instance, or what have you. But I just realized that my overriding why recently was in a state of meditation that I wanted to bring death out of the closet, and I wanted to have, because it's really one of the things people don't talk about in our society, and I think it has created more fear in people's lives because they don't address it. But it's not really something that you can just go right out and say, let's bring death out of the closet, because people are not there yet. So,
and the question I would give you on that, well, and here's the question I would ask you is, why can't you? I'll give you another example. Recently, I was talking to a woman who sells Shackley products. She's in network marketing. And she said, you know, whenever I see my brother use toothpaste from the grocery store, I want to say to him, why are you killing yourself with those poisons and toxins? She goes, but I could never do that. And I said, why? I said, why would you not tell him that if you know that it's harming him? And she goes, oh, I guess you're right. And the thing is until we're willing to take a stand, until we're willing to, and we don't have to shove it in people's faces, but the beauty of the way the internet is set up today with social media and social networks, there are communities and pockets of people that are looking for the information that you have. And you, mm-hmm. what I have experienced is that when you start coming out of your own closet, whatever that may be, it may be the death closet, it may be the, being a single mom raising foster kids. I don't even know what it would be.
Sure.
Once you start saying what your truth is, you start attracting the people who want to hear that truth. And the thing that some people think is they have to reach everybody and everybody is their market. That's not true. All you need is a small, dedicated, loyal following, and you can have a very, very profitable business.
Oh, I see exactly what you're saying. So that would be the attraction way of marketing, where
you're pulling
them in, you know, because of you are not afraid to stand your ground and be totally confident in what it is you have to offer the world.
Absolutely. In the book, I talk about push-pull marketing. There's the pushing out the information that you push out to market, and then the pull is where you're actually attracting, like through law of attraction. And part of the way that you get your message out is through article marketing. There are plenty of places that one can take their perspective, put articles together, and distribute those articles online. And it's really interesting how often you can get discovered, if you will, by your clients because you have articles distributed online. Another way that you could push your information out to market so that people can find you is find blogs that your ideal client would be reading. And this all takes time to research and study, but find the blogs that they read and see if you might be able to be a guest blogger. During this book tour that we're doing, there must be at least 25 or 30 blogs that I've done guest blog postings for, and every day I'm getting Google alerts saying, okay, Kathleen Gage showed up again, or Power Up for Profit showed up. And for people who don't know what Google alerts are, you just go to Google, key in Google alerts, it'll bring up a little form, and you put in what word combination do you want to get alerts on. It could be your name, it could be your industry, it could be if you wrote a book, it could be the title of the book, so that you know when these things are showing up, and then you can actually respond to when it shows up, if it's an opportunity for you maybe to get interviewed, maybe write another article. But this is how you create your own visibility. You create the desire from the market by standing up to be counted.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. You talk a good deal in your book about opt-in boxes and how important they are and how so few people really take you up on that suggestion. I mean, they're afraid of it. It almost is like you have to hammer it into their brains to create an opt-in box that is front and center to, on their blog or on their website. What do you think makes people shy away from those opt-in boxes?
Well, one is they don't quite know how to do it, but there's plenty of people. You can go to Odesk, which is Odesk.com. You can go to Elance.com, Elance.com. You can go to Fiverr.com, which is Fiverr.com, and you can find people that can create this for you. But so one of the limitations is people don't know how to do it. The other limitation is some people are afraid. They say, well, what if I offer something and nobody takes me up on it? So rather than going through the fear of being rejected, they would rather not put their information out there and find out that it's not working. So it's really having strategies and systems in place so that you can get the greatest result. I'll give you a great example with one gentleman who wanted me to mentor him one-on-one, and I told him, I said, I don't think we're a good fit, because I gave him some free coaching. We had a consulting call, and I said, look, I'm going to give you a tip, and before we actually sign a contract, I want you to do this. Can you do it? And he goes, sure, whatever you tell me, I'll do. I said, okay, on your website where you have your picture, I want you to put an opt-in box, and I want you to give something away. It was in line with his market and his industry. And he said, but that's my picture. And I said, right now, that's a big so what. What you want to do is you want to get people's contact information so that you can start building a relationship with them. He goes, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Well, about a month later, I looked at his website, and he had not changed a thing. And he wanted to, he goes, you know, nothing's working for me. I said, well, you didn't do what I recommended you do. And so the thing is that if we want different results, we have to be willing to do things differently. And if you really want the best results, find the people that have succeeded at what you want to succeed at, get their formula, and implement it. I have a great mentor right now who's extremely, extremely successful at what she does, and I pay a lot of money to this woman to help me to take my business to the next level. So no matter where we're at, we do need mentors, we need coaches, we need colleagues and joint venture partners. We need people that are going to raise us up to take our businesses to the next level.
And we need mastermind groups.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's huge.
Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, mastermind group, where it first became really popular was in the book Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill, I think it is, wrote that book.
Yeah.
And it was all about, getting where you have one brain, you have one way of thinking. Where you get more than one, you have all these different ways of thinking, and there's some, energetically, there's a lot of magic that happens when you have a lot of synchronicity among the people that you're masterminding with. And basically, it's just getting a group of people together, and there are some groups for masterminding that are free, and others, like the one I belong to, where we do pay a substantial amount of money to be among a certain level with people at a certain point in their business. And nobody that makes under $300,000 can be a part of this group. It's just that's kind of the rule of the law of the land from our mentor. But what you do is you get together and you brainstorm ideas and you support each other in the directions you're going. If somebody is not doing something right, you can lovingly tell them, you know, you might want to try this instead of that. And really, it's just a great way to have people to lean on when things go good in your business and when things go not so good in your business. Because I'll tell you, running a business on the internet, regardless of what industry you're in, at times it can get pretty lonely. It's like you're in your own head, you're sitting in front of a computer, and you start listening to the voices in your head going, okay, you don't know what you're doing, what do you think? You know, even I have times where I doubt what I'm doing, and that's why I belong to mastermind groups, because I want to be able to bounce off those insecurities. And anybody who says they don't have insecurities, I would probably question if they're human or not.
Well, let's put it this way. You would question whether they're being honest or not.
Right.
Tell us what people, you know, we want people to buy your book. So if they buy your book today and within the next few days, what kind of bonuses will they get?
Well, you know, thank you for asking. Actually, I put together a really nice bonus package, and it's not bonuses from other people. These are all my own creations. One is for the person and the people who are just starting out. They've not made any money online, and they want to just make their first $100. I actually created a 58-page report on how to make your first $100 online. On the other side of the coin, I have how to make thousands from any platform. And a platform is like a teleseminar, a webinar, a telesummit, speaking on the platform in front of a live audience. And how do you actually sell whatever it is you have available, products and services, to the people in your audience? And so that's a nice, it's a multimedia program where there's MP3s, there's a video, there's transcripts, and it's a really nice program for people who want to know how to sell from the platform. And then another bonus that I have is a live teleseminar training. It happens on August 9th, and the only people who will be on this live call are the people who get the book through this special campaign. So I know you have a special link that you're going to give people, and that'll take them to that page where you'll see a short little video of me talking about the book and about the bonuses. And then all you have to do, click the Amazon link, order the paperback book, come back to the page, input your information with your order number, and you get the bonuses. And then the book arrives in about 2 to 3 days.
I just wanted to mention that those links are on the radio show page, which I've been promoting quite extensively, but I will continue to promote it over the next 3 or 4 days. So yes, that is wonderful, and people can. And I know that you are planning to have a real live seminar in Portland, Oregon, and other places in the West Coast. And that would be
another thing that you're
planning?
Yes, absolutely. It's a 3-day event, and anybody who gets the book will get 2 tickets to that. They put a small deposit down that is refundable when they show up to the event, and that's a game changer. You show up for 3 days with me and with about 150 other entrepreneurs who are all there to build their business. Great networking opportunity. I have some people that have sponsored different parts of the event. I have a couple of other speakers that one is a friend of mine who has already this year hit 7 figures in her business, and she's going to talk about the mechanics of product launches, and she's brilliant at that. So it's called Her name is Susan Lassiter Lyons.
Okay.
Susan Lassiter Lyons, yes. And she's kind of one of those really well-kept secrets that she's just going about her business, making lots of money and impacting lots of people. And she's also into animal rescue, which is really cool. But the event is called Power Up for Profits Live. And, again, it's 3 days in October, the 11th through the 13th in Portland, Oregon. And when you get the book, you will get 2 tickets to that event.
Cool. Another thing, there is your product creation course, which is what I'm going through right now, because I actually want it, and I'm so excited still about that. It's a wonderful course, and it teaches you how to create products from start to finish. It is absolutely, it doesn't leave anything unturned. No stone is left unturned on that one.
No stone is left unturned. And when you actually buy the book, you'll be taken to some other opportunities. One is a four-week live training. The other one is the product creation course. And that particular product creation course, hands down, is the best one you're going to find anywhere, and especially for the price. I really priced it in a way that it was very affordable for people. And what you'll find is everything from A to Z on how to do e-books, how to do e-reports, teleseminars, webinars, telesummits, virtually any kind of product that you can think of, there's information in there on how to create it. And in the book, I have information on that too. So I really encourage people to go to Amazon, actually go to the page with your link and get the book, because this will be a game changer for you. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years. I'm one of the early adopters online, and a lot of times while people were saying bad economy, my business was growing. Much of it has to do with our mindset, and if we don't keep a check on our mindset, it can eat us up alive. And so it's really important to surround yourself with the right information at the right time.
Oh, it's so true. Oh, I just had a vision about your book, that what would be really, really cool for people to do when they get the book and have other people in their communities, and I'm not even talking about online communities now. I would be talking about the communities we have in our hometowns and such, that people could get together and talk about how they can implement what is in your book with each other and help each other with their businesses through
That's a great idea.
I know.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Book discussions done on a local level that would really be like a mini mastermind, or certainly accountability. It could turn into accountability mastermind groups, but it would be using your book as a book discussion guide.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
You do not need to create another book discussion guide. It's already in that book, unless you wanted to, you know, pare it down a little bit.
But, I love that idea. And one idea that I'm working on also is for people who belong to associations, like it could be eWomen Network, it could be EWI, Executive Women International, it could be NABO. But if they have groups of people, if they have enough people where they would buy 250 to 300 books minimum, I would come in and do a keynote for free. So, you know, I'm going to be putting out to the market, too, is if anybody wants me to come out and do a keynote, you can buy enough books that would offset what my fee would be.
Oh, my gosh, that's a great idea for any author. Note that down, everybody. Oh, my gosh, that's gold. That's gold.
Well, I did that.
Oh,
go ahead.
No.
I did that with one of my books. A few years ago, we did a book, 101 Ways to Get Your Foot in the Door, and we would sell in bulk to different companies that had a sales team, and then they would bring me or one of the other authors in to do a presentation, and it worked beautifully. It worked beautifully.
That is so phenomenal, really. So my last question to you is, and I don't know if you're aware of this quote, but the Dalai Lama says that the Western women hold the key to saving the planet in the 21st century. I know your book is an example of how this might happen. What are your thoughts on that?
I've not heard that quote before, and I tend to agree with it, because it's really about us being willing to step up to our responsibility. And responsibility is the ability to respond to a calling. And I think that, you know, enough of us have been through plenty of experiences in life that let us know how short life really is and how precious it is, and we don't have any time to waste. And so really the challenge and the invitation I give to the women who have businesses or will be growing their businesses is be willing to step out in a big way, be willing to take risks, and as my mentor says, if you're not willing to fail big, you're not willing to succeed big. You have to be willing to just risk whatever it is that you need to risk, but there's calculated risks too. So I agree with that quote. I think it's a beautiful quote, and I think that each one of us needs to take that responsibility. I had a situation just yesterday. One of my dogs that we rescued is a pit bull, and Tia Torres, her information had a lot to do with that. I thought, wow, I didn't know pit bulls were so great. And yesterday on Facebook, a friend of mine had posted a picture of a pit bull that had been severely abused. They don't know if he'll be able to live. And I thought, I can't go and adopt him because it's in another state and he may not even live, but I certainly can donate. So I immediately went to their page and I made a donation. That's what we can do, too. It's not just about what we do in our businesses, but it's the power behind the money that we make that can make the difference, too.
Absolutely. That's so true. And we can do so much. It's so much more powerful to have money to help other people, to help the animals, to help whatever it is that you're passionate about. It makes it just makes so much sense. Well, Kathleen, I really appreciate your coming on today, and I don't want us to be cut off. So I'm going to have an official thank you and an official goodbye. And I love your book, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. So
thank you so much, and I hope you can make it out in October because I'd love to see you there.
I would love to see you too. I'm working on it.
All righty. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.